Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And y'all, here we go. Maybe one of the most interesting and controversial topics we've ever discussed coming at you today.
And in some ways, we've already discussed this and with the personal inside knowledge, and I know we'll get into that, but Jim once again outdid himself and put this one together in light of all the recent, you know, supposed clemency hearings and all that stuff. They got canceled, and now we got a new governor in.
I'm going to try to be accurate. Not that I wasn't. No, everybody wasn't accurate last time. I'm going on a record saying that.
Accurate. But how about when you fixed it and all the national media fixed it? Right?
Yeah. So, two hours later, I go click on the link and it says commute on there. And I'm like, wow, it didn't say that before.
All right. So we'll just get into the bloody end goal. And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. And thank you, Patreon members. We love you, love you, love you. If you're not one, go check it out. We got a ton of bonus episodes and everything that are put up for our Patreon members.
100%. And in today's episode, it's going to center around the Louisiana Supreme Court decision made in 2015, y'all. And that's known as Montgomery versus Louisiana.
Yep. And y'all, Montgomery versus Louisiana centered around what was the longest serving convict in bloody Angola's history. And
they've had a lot of long ones, too.
Right. So. I mean, a lot of them died. Yeah. But this is Henry Montgomery. Now, Henry was released from Angola on November the 17th of 2021 after being locked up for 57 years. And he was released when he was 75 years old. So we're going to start with what put him there and what he did during those 57 years behind bars and what role he had not only in Louisiana history, but in United States history that led to his release.
So you can't tell Henry Montgomery's story without telling Officer Charles Hurt's story. So we're going to start right there, and we're going to bring you back to November 13th of 1963. And at that time, Officer Hurt was assigned to what's known as the Scotlandville area of East Baton Rouge Parish. Scotlandville at that time, majority black.
Right, well, you know, we're not being racist. It was all black.
Yeah. It's still segregation.
It was still segregation during that time and everything. And it was just really, you know, known as a tough neighborhood.
It still is until today.
Even to today. And to be assigned that as a white officer, you had to be something special.
That's right. And y'all remember, this is the early 60s. It was a different time. And although Deputy Hurt was a white officer, he was he respected and he worked well with that community, right, which, quite honestly, y'all, it was rare during that time. As a matter of fact, Deputy Hurt started a junior deputy program for male kids at the Scotlandville neighborhood. And he was even assisted a black mother whose son was serving in Vietnam. And at her request,
she was illiterate.
Yeah, was illiterate. And he, at her request, he would stop by her house and he would read her son's letters to her. He would then write her response to her son. So he wasn't your, you know, back in those days, what would be considered a typical white versus black individual. He was well known in that community as being fair. Let's put it that way. And he was a really good family man. He was very highly respected as a sheriff's deputy. He was a great husband to his wife, and they had three children. And let me give you a little bit of perspective on how long ago this was. To give you that perspective, it was the same month that JFK was assassinated.
Right. And I'm going to touch on this real quick. When I was a young uniform patrol officer and you know, the predominantly, the all African-American neighborhoods that I worked in, the 99% of them, I had their respect. I would get out and talk to them and hang out and stuff like that. But they knew when I came down there, I meant business too. They're the ones that gave me the name of the Wolf. But I can't imagine, you know, this is for social media and everything else. And I can't imagine the respect that he had to get. Even from the bad guys will give you respect because they know this guy's going to take the time to write, read a literate mom, his son's, there's, son's letters from Vietnam and take the time to write them. That's a special character, right? Yeah. And that gets around. And so
that's right.
Let me tell you what happened. So on November 13th of 1963, Officer Hurt was patrolling the Scotlandville area, and he was actually following up on a theft case. And naturally, you know, he probably would respond to the scene, and they told what was stolen, and probably the theft had just happened, and this happened to me, right? You look at who's in the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. And he did the same thing. He's following up on the theft case, and he came across a group of kids who were just hanging around a rec building at the Annie T. Jordan Community Park. And so Officer Hurt pulls in because it was during school hours, and it was common for the cops to break up a group of kids who were playing hooky during that time, and he thought one of them may have had something to do with the theft.
Yeah.
So he sees
very common during that time. Yeah. It wasn't like now. They see them now. Right. You know. Right. So, but back then they would break those things
up.
He's
proactive, and because he cares about the people in the neighborhood, it may be something small that was stolen, whatever it may be. He's like, you know what, I'm gonna do my job. I'm gonna try to make these people whole again and stop this from happening again. So he's at the rec center, and he walks behind the building, and he sees Henry Montgomery, who was nicknamed Wolfman by his friends, because he had these large incisor teeth, y'all. And so Officer Hurt asked Henry to turn around. So, you know, we always do that. And I would always say, hey, you know, let me pat frisk you for officer safety. And he did that. He asked him to turn around, and he begins to pat him down from the waist in case he had a knife or a gun. And what, unfortunately, what Officer Hurd didn't know was that Montgomery had a gun, but it was in the breast pocket of his jacket. So while Officer Hurd's patting him down from the waist to his shoe top, Henry Montgomery's .22 pistol, which is commonly known in the South as a Saturday Night Special, y'all, it's just like the cheapest, you know, little pistol that you can get. Some of them are homemade, but actually 22 rounds killed more people than all the other rounds put together because of these type pistols. But anyway, he's patting him down, and the Saturday Night Special, the pistol, accidentally falls out of the jacket. Henry's jacket, and Henry catches it with the bend in his arm, like in a crook, and Officer Hurd sees this, and they both come face to face with each other, and I can tell you this from experience, it's a whole shit moment, both of them in fear, and unfortunately, Henry Montgomery panicked, and he shot Officer Hurd.
Yeah, and that's an important point to this story in that, you know, had Officer Hurd not went back there, he would have obviously still been alive.
Right.
But not only that, it appears from the story that Henry did not have the intention of shooting. Had that gun not fell out, none of that would have probably happened. But it doesn't matter. Right. It happened.
Right. But let me tell you, this is how dangerous police work is. One night I was rolling, for lack of a better term, through the hood, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I see a guy walking on the road, and there's nobody on the road at time in the morning, usually except for the dope dealers and users. And I just pulled up to him and rolled the window down, and I was like, hey, bud, what's up? And I wasn't really going to stop and talk to him or anything. And he looked back over his shoulder, and he kept walking. I was like, oh, shit, here we go, right? I say, hey, man, hold on. And then I had a legal right to stop him because it's called obstruction of public passage. If you have your feet on the road, that's actually a law. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, what's up? You know, I was just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And he turned and looked at me with that look in his eye, and he kept walking. And I called out to him again. He kept walking. So I pulled up and I opened my door and I get out. I'm like, hey, man, come here. And when he turned, he pulled a pistol on me. And I literally grabbed the pistol. It was a cheap Saturday Night Special, cheap revolver. And I grabbed the revolver and stopped he pulled the trigger. I stopped it. It hit my hand.
Oh, shit.
The hammer did. And I ended up calling 108 on the radio, and we fought. And I got the better of him. And when I got up and had him in handcuffs, I called my daughter. She was like 4 years old at the time. I was a single dad.
Wow.
So it just happens, right?
Yeah.
So when
that
quick, in the blink of an eye, he got sugar turner shit, right? And so on you know, Officer Hurd, it's just, I could see it in my mind's eye, almost this going down. Yeah, but like you said, ultimately the dude pulled the trigger in panic.
That's it. There's no way around that part.
That's it. Yeah.
So Officer Hurd is laying on the ground. He's dying. Henry kind of freaks out, and he hauls ass.
Right.
And there were no witnesses. Now, this is 1963, y'all, and a white police officer just got killed in a black community.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, like we said, it was still segregated, so all hell broke loose. 300 officers show up in the Scotlandville community. Roadblocks go up. Right. Canines get deployed.
Right.
And police rounded up pretty much every person they could find in the area and start interrogating them.
Right.
They eventually get to Montgomery, who was 17 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during a search of his house, they found him acting strange, and they're like, he knows something. And
I can assure you, not to interrupt you, but
no.
When you do this, first of all, there wasn't 300 police officers in Baton Rouge. Every surrounding agency from East Feliciana Parish to West Baton Rouge Parish to Livingston Parish, whatever, they sent whoever they could. They put the Skylineville on lockdown, basically. The whole neighborhood surrounded it. And they start shaking the trees, is what you call it. And then say, look, but just like we talked about this officer being a good officer, people, the word on the street, they say streets talk. And the word on the streets would have led them, ultimately, they didn't just show up at Montgomery's house and search it for no reason.
Right.
Somebody said, hey, we saw Montgomery running, and we, whatever, right?
Yeah. So they go to his house, they search it, and they come upon a rafter in his home where he had hidden, and they find that .22 Saturday Night Special in that rafter. So, of course, they haul him in to headquarters, and after interrogating him for a while, he confesses on tape to the shooting. Now, this is an important point. Montgomery never denies killing this officer, so that it's not that he admitted it and then he tried to recant it at some point during, you know, that all that time he was in prison. He's always admitted to this,
right,
and I guess accepted his responsibility in the murder of Officer Hurt.
Right. Yeah. So, well, you know, what do they do, right? You lock him up and you are going to trial because no defense attorney is going to plead. And their client to life in prison, much less the death penalty. But so he goes to trial and is defense lawyers say he's crazy. They try to use an insanity plea, and they focus on Montgomery's learning disabilities, which they always do, and they're saying he was easily provoked, and that's what caused the shooting. But Henry still got convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death in bloody Angola.
Sentenced to death.
Right. And that's when gruesome girder was still being used.
Yep.
Due to some of the issues with the first trial, in 1966, he gets granted a new trial by the Louisiana Supreme Court and was found guilty again. And this time around, he received life in prison rather than a death penalty. So really, that's a win for him.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He goes bloody Angola. I mean, not on death row. And he lives his life inside the wire. And this is the real bloody years, y'all. And Henry was in the middle of it since the young age of 17. So, and then he did what inmates do. He exhausted all of his appeals, and I would imagine he started to become more adapted to the situation, in which we say that he did his time, didn't let his time do him.
Yeah, yeah.
But a case in 2012 would change all that.
Yeah, it really would. And you mentioned it, Woody. This was during the bloodiest of the bloody years in Angola, the mid-60s. You know, all this is going down, and I'm sure during that period of time and since, Henry had seen a lot of things inside the wire. So in 2012, you know, they had a ruling that would change all that. But before we talk about it, and that was known as Miller versus Alabama, let's talk about a 2010 ruling that really kind of set the stage for that. In 2010, there was a case known as Graham versus Florida.
Right.
And in that case, the Supreme Court ruled juvenile life without parole sentences unconstitutional for crimes, but there's a caveat there, excluding murder.
Right.
And that's the key, excluding murder. Then in 2012, there was a big one, and that was known as Miller versus Alabama. Mm-hmm. In this case, the Supreme Court held that mandatory sentences of life without the possibility of parole are unconstitutional for juvenile offenders. The ruling applied even to those persons who had committed murder as a juvenile. So it extended beyond Graham versus Florida because it applied to murder as well. And Justice Elena Kagan, she wrote a majority opinion which means that she was one of the people that essentially agreed with on the Supreme Court. And she stated that mandatory life without parole for those under the age of 18 at the time of their crime violates the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. She went on to say that mandatory life without parole for a juvenile precludes consideration of his chronological age and its hallmark features, among them immaturity, impetuosity, and failure to appreciate risk and consequences. It prevents taking into account the family and home environment that surrounds him and from what he cannot usually extricate himself, no matter how brutal or dysfunctional. So that was someone writing a majority opinion from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is that at 17, in their minds, that your brain's not fully developed enough yet.
Right.
And then you have mitigating circumstances like family situations and stuff like that.
Right. And there were some dissenters on the Supreme Court, and dissenter means they're just who disagreed with that. One of them was Chief Justice John Roberts, who stated in his dissent, determining the appropriate sentence for a teenager convicted of murder presents grave and challenging questions of morality and social policy. Our role, however, is to apply the law, not to answer such questions. Right. So essentially what he's saying there is the law, we are here to apply the law,
the rule of the law,
not to necessarily change the law, which is what they would be doing. All in all, the court decision applied retroactively to all those convicted of crimes committed under the age of 18. It did not automatically free any prisoner, and it did not forbid sentences of life terms for young murderers. Instead, judges in their review would have to consider the defendant's youth, mitigating factors, and the nature of the crime before sentencing the defendant to imprisonment with no hope for parole. The case was remanded to trial court for the convicted youths to be resentenced.
I say each one of them got a hearing before the original court to be resentenced or not, right?
Right.
So
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, look, this just changed. Think of if you're an inmate and you've been in prison since you were 16, sentenced to life with no parole.
Right.
Oh, man.
And now they
this is life-changing for you.
I don't even know if I agree with it, because I agree with the center on the fact that I certainly believe that 17-year-olds, a lot of them, brains aren't fully developed. But the you know what? Supreme Court is not there to rewrite the law. Yeah. But anyway, it is what it is. So
interpreters.
Right. So Henry Montgomery's lawyers used the Miller versus Alabama as a precedent to get Montgomery's case heard in front of the Supreme Court. And in 2016, they agree, throwing out his life with no parole sentence and making him eligible for parole, y'all. But the key here is eligible. Right.
Yeah.
It just means he has a shot of being released, not that he will be. And now, if you've been listening to Bloody Angola for a while, you already know that while this was a win for Montgomery, he was not the first person released under this new decision. And a past guest we had on the show, Andrew Hundley, was. In a two-part series, we did or he did with us, titled Second Chances. So go check it out if you hadn't listened to it.
It's a great series.
Great series. Andrew is just an example of a person who can really, really turn your life around and make a difference. But Andrew detailed his release from prison after serving 19 years in Angola and sentenced to life without parole at 15 years old. And here's a clip from the very series where Andrew describes the feeling on the day he was released.
My supervisor is a guy named Alan Barton. And June 9th, 2016, his phone rings and he answers it and he looks at me and I could tell whatever the call was about, it was about me. And so I'm wondering, what's this about? And nowhere did it come into my mind, this has something to do with parole. And he's like, okay. And he hangs up the phone and he looks at me and he says, pack your shit. And in prison, when you hear pack your shit, it's usually one of a couple things, but it could also mean you're going to the cell block.
Right. It could mean you're getting swung. The other one is
you're going home. But I didn't allow myself to believe I was going home. I was prepared to go home.
You thought you did something wrong.
I'm immediately, like, in that split second, what are the things? Do they know I brought a brick of community coffee back to the dorm to give to this old timer? You know, like, what do they know? I got some extra chicken out in the kitchen. And he says, you're making parole. And I was just like, wait, what? He's like, the parole board granted you, and you're releasing now.
Oh, what?
He's like, and so I lived at the office of the range crew. We were at the lake house at the hog lot, you know, this prison jargon. And I have like 80% of my properties out there because I go back to the dorm to sleep and then come back to work and work all day. And he says, pack your stuff. And I was like, if this is like a bad message, I don't want to pack all my stuff. And so let me go to the camp and see. He's like, I'm not bringing you back. You're going home. So it took me going to the camp and then giving me my release papers to sign before I believed it. And they said, do you want to call anyone? I said, yeah, I want to call my mom. So I call mom. They give me the phone. I call my mom. She answers. And I said, hey, do you know anything about me? And she says, yeah, we're coming to get you. So I'm told, packing all, getting all my stuff gathered, and all these old timers and these juvenile lifers who've been there all this time are coming up to me. We're so happy for you, man. This is awesome. And I remember thinking to myself, man, how much grace that they have, because if I was in their shoes, I would be saying, why this guy? Guys were like just showing me so much love. And the last two guys I talked to before I get out were two juvenile lifers. One had been in for 40 years. One had been in for 50 years.
Wow.
And they say, you're going to be the guy that helps the rest of us get out.
Now, Andrew is the perfect example of someone, y'all, who took full advantage of his second chance. He got out, he earned a master's degree, and he founded the Louisiana Parole Project, which helps released convicts assimilate back into society. Now, as Woody said, Montgomery got his chance at parole 2 years after the historic ruling. So imagine that. There's this historic ruling named after you.
After you, and you're not out.
And you're not out yet.
You didn't get your chance. It's not, not guaranteed you're going
to
get out.
That's right. You didn't get your chance. You didn't get to go before the parole board. As a matter of fact, somebody else did before you.
Right.
But he did, 2 years later, get his chance at parole after that historic ruling. And on February 26, 2018, at 71 years old, he went before the parole board. Now, he had been in Bloody Angola for 53 years at this point.
That's how old I am.
Yeah. But Henry was denied.
Right. 2-1.
2-1. The primary reason for his denial was the board felt he did not participate in enough groups. And there was a massive and, look, understandable backlash from the various law enforcement associations in Louisiana, as well as Officer Hurt's daughter, who was fighting hard. She was fighting hard to keep him behind bars.
Let me tell you something. They can say whatever they want to about the groups and shit. It was it was the public pressure, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Officer murdered and family members, et cetera.
And you've got the daughter up there. As a matter of fact, here's a short clip of that parole board hearing.
It's tough. We hear a lot of these cases. For me today, unfortunately, Mr. Montgomery, I'm going to vote to deny your parole. I have a problem with, I think you need more programs. Today, your parole's been denied.
All right, so y'all, Andrew Hunley, rather than Henry Montgomery, gets released. And like we said, he was the first one. And shortly after, in 2019, Henry again goes before the parole board and again was denied. But there was another major change in the law that occurs. And in Henry's first and second parole hearings, the votes to release had to be unanimous. However, the law got changed again to where the parole can be granted by a majority vote. So in 2021, Henry goes in front of the parole board yet again, and he has a fight on his hands, y'all. And in this first clip we're going to play for you, you're going to hear Officer Hurt's daughter, Miss Linda Woods, and she's fighting hard in the hearing to keep Henry incarcerated. And you know what? I'd have done the same thing. But here's a clip.
I don't believe he's sorry. He made a decision at 17 years old. You know right from wrong at 17 years old. I did. And I was raised that if I made a mistake, I suffered the consequences.
All right, so y'all, shout out again to Miss Linda Wood, who's speaking for our family and her daddy. And, you know, she fought, understandably, for many years to keep Henry behind bars. So Henry, the parole board and Henry lawyer speak, and here's a short clip from that historic hearing.
He has checked every box that I am aware of. When he was denied last time, he went back. He didn't go crawl in his bunk and cry. He went and took other courses. He did what he was told to do by the panel. Go ahead and make any statements you want to make at this time.
I'm real sorry that this incident happened. I had no one to destroy the whole family. If I'm going to have to live with this all my life, the rest of my life.
This decree of the Louisiana Parole Board grants your release.
On November 16th, 2021, Henry Montgomery was released from prison nearly six decades after arriving at Angola. Y'all, he was 75 years old. So I want to say something before I continue on, and that is Woody brought up a great point, which was they changed the law to where you did not have to have a unanimous parole board decision in order to release someone, because there was always someone not agreeing with that parole. Right. It was always a 2-1 vote. It just usually was 2-1 the other direction for Henry. And even even on the one where he was paroled, it was still a 2-1 vote, but it was in his favor.
And I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, because my mama served on the parole board under Governor Edwin Edwards. When we say 2-1 or 3-1, y'all, that's the minimum amount of people that they have to vote. I think
that would be considered
they had
quorum.
They had five board members assigned, but you know, naturally they were flying them in state planes to different prisons every day and stuff like that, and they couldn't always be there, but you had to have at least the
majority, or maybe majority. You know, I'm not saying in this case, but sometimes people abstain. You have to have a quorum, so you have to have at least three people to even have a vote. So Henry gets released. Now, who do you think was the first person to greet him right after his release and pick him up right outside the gates? And if you guessed Andrew Hunley, you would be correct. Yeah. Andrew was on our show, and one of the things he said, he he almost deeply regretted was the fact that he was released before so many other people, right. But also before
specifically Montgomery.
Henry Montgomery.
He said he felt guilty about it.
Yes, yeah. He did. And so he was the one who actually picked Henry up from the gates of Angola and got him his new start by bringing him on at Louisiana parole.
Huge advocate with the board and everyone else to try to get Montgomery out.
Absolutely. So you may wonder what Henry had been up to since his release. Well, Henry Montgomery spoke about it in 2022 in a video that was actually released by the Louisiana Parole Project. Right. And regardless of what side of this case you're on, if you're human, it's going to pull at your heartstrings.
Right. You're right.
It's very heartfelt, to be sure. And here's that clip. And this is Henry Montgomery in his own words.
To everyone who helped me along the way, I am writing this letter to express my gratitude for the beautiful freedom since my release on November 17, 2021, after 57 years in prison. People I did not ever know have treated me like a real person. It's nice to finally feel like somebody. That sure was not the case back in 1963 when I first entered the penitentiary. I've seen a lot of juveniles come to Angola, and a lot of them never went home. Some of them was killed in prison. Others died waiting for a second chance. But I always had hope. I knew that one day I was going to go home, and I am blessed to be a free man now. When I am expressly grateful for my freedom, I am also deeply sorry for the pain and suffering I brought to Mr. Hurt's family. I know I can never change what happened or even the mistake I made, but I hope to continue to use my second chance to better myself and my community. A year is a long time, but 365 days ago still feel like yesterday. As I walk through the front gates, I remember everybody telling me over the year that I was going to die in prison. I smiled because I finally proved that that was all lies. It was a great feeling. The Louisiana Parole Project was like a savior to me because I could not do anything but myself when I first got out. Andrew had promised me that he had never gave up on me. And there he was waiting to pick me up. Lord, my caseworker, a juvenile lifer who came home 2 years before me, helped me understand how society is today. I am almost 60 years behind time, and he was there to show me a new way of living. And I appreciate all that Lord had done for me. He showed me what I could do and helped me with what I could not do. Everything had changed. You know, Baton Rouge is a truly different place from how I remember. You have to have a helping hand when you get back in society. Everyone at Parole Project had been there for me. I could depend on them. They taught me to take it one step at a time. Now, I've tried to learn something new every day. I'm glad to see other juvenile lifers like Andrew, Lord, Matt, all who got out before me are doing good things, helping a lot of other people. they have prayed away for me and prepared a place for me to go upon my release. They are giving back to society, and so am I. Once I start talking with people about my story, they are amazed that I was in prison for such a long time. Most people did not even realize that men are staying in prison that long these days. I lived with a lot of men at Angola for so many years, and I cannot forget them. I've already been back to see a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys. To say hello and just to give them hope. I always tell them to never give up. I am also thankful to my family who took me places and helped me experience new things. I have come to enjoy walking and looking at all these beautiful scenery. It's nice to travel and go new places. I have been to Washington, D.C., and Montgomery, Alabama, and my kinfolk brought me to the family reunion, and they all showed me love. I am so grateful, so thankful for that. Now, I have my own apartment, and I love my apartment. For the first time in my life, I have a place all to myself. It sure beat being in Angola. I smile a lot these days. Being free just make me smile. And I can't wait to smile some more when I go fishing, attend a football game, or just take a trip anywhere. This past year has been so beautiful. And I just want to thank everyone. I am proud of myself, and I hope to continue giving back for the opportunity. Yours truly, Henry Montgomery.
What are your thoughts on this one? Because, you know, this is the conundrum of just being a human being, right? And you know, caring about people in general. What are your thoughts, man?
It's kind of tough, and I guess I certainly have the human part of me too, but I also have the cop part of me. And this Officer Hurt, he's never getting out of prison.
Right.
His prison is 6 feet underground.
Yeah.
Right? He's never going to get to have anybody greet him at the Gates Angle or anywhere else. I understand Montgomery was 17. He still shot him and killed him and took him away from this world. Now, the law, if the Supreme Court hadn't ruled the way they did, and they followed the letter of the law, he would never get out. Do I think he's going to kill anybody at 75? No. Do I think Andrew Hunley and them, they're certainly people who were sentenced to life, they can get out and really make a difference in this world. And Andrew is definitely one of them. And I believe, I mean, from talking to him, you know, when they pushed to get these people out, they really, really, really screened the shit out of them. Like, yeah. They were like, okay, can this cat make it?
You know? Yeah.
And they look at how they live on the inside and stuff like that, and they won't back them. But I'm just kind of conflicted from the old cop standpoint of he was protecting and serving, and he got killed for no reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Just messed up on this one. But I know because of Andrew Hunley. Andrew admitted the horror of his crime.
He's the first to admit it.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll always be conflicted.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page with you. Of course, we are a police first.
Absolutely.
That's right. And I've always kind of been someone that once the people speak, they've spoke.
Right,
and so I've always been one to kind of err on the side of, hey, That was the sentence, was, and why are we changing it? Because the people spoke.
That's the law.
They
gave the verdict, right?
Right, and I can tell you this. If I was his family member, his daughter, I would be fighting, absolutely. And I would say, I don't care right. that he's 75 right, and he's right, been there 58 right. years.
My daddy,
that's right.
75.
No, and he didn't stand at my wedding, right. didn't do right, it, you right. know.
He'd never get to see his grandkids or
totally relate to that. Uh-huh. And so I get her side of that, and that's exactly how I would be. But it is a conundrum in humanity almost. Because you can look at the other side of that and say, well, he's been in a cage for 58 years. Mm-hmm. We've paid for this entire time. Right. But there are very few Andrew Hundleys in right. life. And I say that as a compliment right. to Andrew.
Right. I agree.
He is certainly an exception to that rule.
Right.
Whether he will ever acknowledge that, I don't know, but, right. You know, it was a tough one, and especially hearing at the very end, Henry Montgomery speaking in his own words, you can feel how sorry he right. is and how much yeah. regret he has. And yeah. in this situation, I do believe that was a spur of the moment, really bad decision made out of panic, and it turned bad.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that he would have been a murderer in his life had that not happened.
Well, I mean, but what would happen if Montgomery, you know, just was holding the pistol and Officer Hurt had to kill him?
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't even be talking about this. But
that's
the
right.
I tell you this, I just had this thought. I always say every policy or procedure manual you've ever written is because every rule in there is because somebody screwed something up. So maybe I've reversed my decision a little bit in the courts. I mean, certainly there's some 17-year-olds who aren't mature enough, but nowadays, I don't know. But anyway, they at least have changed the law, and they still have somewhat of a fail system in place with the parole board. They don't have to let him out as obvious. They didn't let Montgomery out the first two times.
Right.
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 And so maybe, yeah. And the Hundleys of the world who are doing great things now doesn't take stop the hurt of the families.
No.
Yeah, but prayers to all the victims' families. But if this is the best we can do and we can try to improve upon just a little bit at a time, then I'm not totally against that either.
Right. And, you know, I think back in my own life, and hell, I'm almost 50. And Woody, there were a lot of times that I turned right when I could have turned left. If I would have turned left, I may very well be behind bars myself. But I made that right turn instead of that left turn. But I could have turned left.
Swim didn't always make the right turn. And my daddy used to say, people would be like, hey, what's Woody doing? And he'd say, well, we thought we were going to have to visit him behind bars. Now he puts people behind bars.
That's right.
But you know what? So many split second decisions that
it just takes one
ruin my life and a lot of other people. So
I tell people, and I've told my kids,
right,
you're one decision away from ruining your life at every given moment.
That's the truth.
So you have to be cognizant of your response to everything.
Right.
And you really do.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing because we are humans and we're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Unfortunately for Henry, his mistake cost someone else their life.
Yeah.
And you can't get that back.
Unfortunately for us, hurt.
Yeah,
Henry's mistake cost him
his life. But absolutely. Great point.
Great episode. We told y'all it'd always be something different. We got some great stuff coming up, y'all. We were actually finally going to go ahead and schedule. Well, you know what? Maybe I don't want to say it out loud. I told the person who was doing it, and I told him, I say, man, and I said his name because I've known him my entire life. I say, hey, man, I said, you know, all the people I put up there. He said, don't worry about it. Woody, the bad one's locked up. I said, I know, motherfucker, but he might be a trustee.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I just did 10 years to get trustee, but there comes that sumbitch down the walk. I'm going to go punch him upside his head, right?
That's it. Stick a broomstick up your ass.
That's why I got Jim Chapman.
That's right. I hit him off.
Anyway, yeah. But I love y'all and thank you for listening. Y'all, please continue to like and share the number one history podcast in the world this year because of y'all.
Yeah.
And we're growing every day, no doubt about it. Jim Chapman is just absolutely phenomenal with these stories. I can't not take any credit for him putting them together and everything. But you know, and if there's something that y'all want to hear that you have personal knowledge of or whatever, like when Lieutenant Donald Duck Sharp came on, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to hear and just shoot us a message through Facebook and if it's something about Angola you want to know about. I know some people wanted to know, and maybe I'll get Woody to do this one day, but we'll do an episode on DCI or something.
Oh, yeah.
There's some people that listen to us that work at DCI. Yeah,
absolutely. Shout out to all the correctional officers and the support staff and the classification officers and the wards. Hell, I know all those guys.
Yeah.
Swim won't tell stories about you, so don't get worried. you know what I'm talking about, too. They are the ones, and people just think of them like Verona cops or security guards. No, bro. That is a professional. No, I'm not saying some of them are shitty because they are, but the majority of them are true professionals.
Yeah.
And you think working on the street's dangerous, which it is. How about working where, like bloody Angola, where it's full of murders?
Yeah, you're surrounded by convicts 24/7.
That's it.
Yeah, so, you're right. All right. Thank y'all for listening. Much love. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
Good one.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.